Introduction. In 1980, a gentleman named Eric Prater asked me to do a monthly mystery story for a magazine he was editing. I agreed, because I find it difficult to say no to nice people. And all the editors I have ever met have been nice people. The first story I wrote was a kind of fantasy mystery, featuring a small demon about 2 centimeters tall. I named it Getting Even, and Eric Prater accepted and published it. It featured a gentleman named Griswold as the narrator, and 3 men, including a first-person character who was me, although I never named myself, who were his audience. The 4 were described as meeting every week in the Union Club, and I intended the series to continue to feature the tales of Griswold in the Union Club. However, when I tried to write a second story involving the little demon of Getting Even, the new story was named One Night of Song, Eric said no. Apparently, a bit of fantasy was all right once, but he didn't want me to make a habit of it. I therefore put One Night of Song to one side and proceeded to write the series of mystery stories with no fantasy admixture at all. 30 of these stories, which Eric insisted be only 2,000 to 2,200 words long, were eventually collected in my book, The Union Club Mysteries, Doubleday, 1983. I did not include Getting Even, however, because since it featured the little demon, it didn't match the rest of the stories. Meanwhile, I was brooding about One Night of Song. I hate waste, and I can't endure leaving something I wrote unpublished if there is anything I can do to correct the situation. I therefore approached Eric and said, "That story, One Night of Song, which you rejected, may I publish it elsewhere?" He said, "Certainly, provided you change the name of the characters. I want your stories featuring Griswold and his audience to be exclusive in my magazine." So I did. I changed Griswold's name to George, and I kept an audience of only 1, the first-person character who was myself. That done, I sold One Night of Song to the magazine of fantasy and science fiction, FNSF. Then I wrote another story of the kind I now thought of as George and Azazel stories, Azazel being the name of the demon. This one, The Smile That Loses, was also sold to FNSF. But I also have a science fiction magazine of my own, Isaac Asimov Science Fiction Magazine, IASFM. And Shauna McCarthy, who was then the editor, objected to my having fiction in FNSF. I said, "But Shauna, these George and Azazel stories are fantasies, and IASFM publishes only science fiction." She said, "So change the little demon and its magic into a little extraterrestrial being with an advanced technology and sell the stories to me." So I did that. And since I was still crazy about the George and Azazel stories, I continued to write them. And now I can include 18 of these stories in this collection, Azazel. Only 18 are included because, without Eric's need for briefness, I was able to make the George and Azazel stories twice as long as my Griswolds. But again, I didn't include Getting Even, because that didn't quite have the flavor of the later stories. Having been the original inspiration of 2 different series, Getting Even had the sad fate of falling between 2 stools and not fitting into either set of descendants. Never mind, it's been anthologized, and it may yet appear in the future in other guises as well. Don't feel too sorry for it. There are some points I would like to make about the stories, points you'll probably notice for yourself, but I'm a blabbermouth. 1. As I said, I omitted the first story I wrote about the little demon because it didn't fit. My beautiful editor, Jennifer Brell, insisted, however, that a first story was necessary to describe how George and I met, and how the little demon first entered George's life. Since Jennifer, although a model of sweetness, is not to be withstood when she clenches her little fists, I wrote a story, The 2-Centimeter Demon, which does as she asks, and it is inserted as the first story in the book. What's more, Jennifer decided that Azazel is definitely going to be a demon and not an extraterrestrial. So we are back in fantasy. Azazel is a biblical name, by the way, and Bible readers usually take it to be the name of a demon, though the matter is a bit more complicated than that. 2. George is pictured as a deadbeat of sorts, and I dislike deadbeats, and yet find George lovable. I hope you do, too. The first-person character, really Isaac Asimov, is often insulted by George and invariably victimized by him to the extent of a few dollars. But I don't mind. As I explain at the end of the first story, his stories are worth it, and I make far more money out of them than I give to George, particularly since the giving is fictional. 3. Please be aware that the stories are intended to be humorous satires, and if you find the style overblown and un-Asimovian, that is on purpose. Consider this a warning. Don't buy the book expecting something else and then find yourself annoyed. And by the way, if you occasionally detect the faint influence of P.G. Wodehouse, believe me, that's not accidental.